Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's offering constructive criticism. That's all he's doing out of the kindness of his heart, guys.
Hey, you guys don't escape scrutiny here. Can somebody in that city give Ayesha Curry a little bit of attention? Can somebody over the course of the last decade just say, I like
how
your
long
shoes?
You been waiting to unload that one?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, is it safe to say tonight the winner of this game tonight wins that series, in your opinion?
I think that's safe to say, and I think the Rockets are actually going to win this game tonight. And I'm not usually this optimistic, but I say they will. I say this is the end of the dynasty. And I'll also tell you this. I don't know how you guys feel about it. To me, all the pressure tonight is on the Golden State Warriors because, all right, I know Oracle Arena is not Lambeau Field or Chicago Stadium or the Boston Garden, but there is a chance that tonight is the last game ever there. And the fact that it is Game 5, and if the Warriors lose, you got to come home. You got to go on the road to Houston for Game 6, where the crowd will be completely on tilt. And to me, the pressure in this game tonight is all on Golden State. Do you guys agree or disagree?
It's a great point, but you have to remember the situation. For you guys in the Rockets, this is big business. This is something you've had circled on the calendar for quite some time. For the Warriors, this is just the next notch in the bedpost. You got to go back down 2-1 against Memphis in 2015, down 2-1 against Cleveland in the finals in 2015, down 3-1 to OKC in 2016. The Game 7, that didn't work out that year. Huh. Came back 17-1 in the playoffs. Last year, you guys with the 3-2 lead. Pressure is something, you know, it's usually followed by the word cooker. We use a pressure cooker. We have a nice meal. Lowe's very good at that sort of thing. The pressure, though, I don't think they're feeling a ton of it. The angle on it possibly being the last game ever at Oracle, that's what gets dangerous, whether or not the crowd shows up tonight. Dibs has talked about this time and time again. The Oracle crowd before all this started versus where we're at now, very, very different. Two different things.
But, Joe, is there a fear that if the Warriors lose this game tonight, they lose Game 6, that even with those three guys coming back, assuming Durant leaves and goes to the Knicks, is there a fear that the Warriors will not win a championship again with this crew?
I don't know if it's a fear. Yeah, it's maybe an idea that maybe it becomes a reality, but ultimately in the Bay Area, you take a broader look and you see you got a Game 7 tonight in hockey. You had a no-hitter last night. If you're in Houston, it's win or what? Hope for the Texans?
Yeah,
well, I mean,
World Series champion from a couple of years.
I forgot about that.
A plucky little thing.
Yes, yeah, you know, 3-5
but,
years.
But
here.
You're by the way, you're welcome for Mike Fiers. We just loaned him to you. That's his second no hitter. By the way, he did it first. You're basically getting our sloppy second.
That's not too sloppy when you got Ramon Laureano snatching homers in deep left center.
Let me ask you guys this though too, because I do. This is how I feel. After Kevin Durant leaves, and kudos to the fan in Houston the other night who kept cheering New York Knicks, that was awesome. But I think about what it must be like between like Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Andre Iguodala right now, and there's got to be kind of a feeling of, man, it's going to be nice when this is over and we can get back to like us playing our brand of basketball. Not that they're not thinking about this year, but it almost seems like I'm waiting for that. Like, I want to get back to where it's not just a super team, that it's a homegrown group of really good basketball
players. You guys got to realize Chris Paul's not homegrown. You guys got him there. And you got to realize also they've won before. You guys haven't won anything yet. And so when you think about it, you say, okay, if the Warriors don't win, is there pressure on them? No. If you guys don't win this year, it's over. Denver's getting better. You look around the East. This is it for the Rockets. The Rockets, you got to realize, it's a one guy who can score over 30 on a consistent basis. You guys have no one else to do that. We have two, three other guys
shouldn't you be ashamed of yourselves that this is the effort you're putting forth? You look at the Warriors' small lineup, and they're getting crushed. They're getting crushed by P.J. Tucker, by Eric Gordon, by all these guys. Like, you've got these all-stars out there, and they're getting crushed by these relative nobodies.
Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Define crushed. And talking about Durant leaving, we've established this from the beginning. This town doesn't burn jerseys. We are not Cleveland. And we know you guys hold yourself in high regard as well. You don't burn jerseys down there.
Yes.
Guys like J.J. Watt, you raise money. You're good people. But waiting for Durant to leave is like waiting for Tom Brady to retire, right? We're all kind of stuck, if it's not our team, waiting out the best of the best.
But this is actually going to happen, though, unlike the Brady thing, which seems like, unfortunately for all of us, seems like it may never happen.
Brady's unstoppable.
But this is what's so interesting to me, because honestly, I've been kind of shocked that the reaction that we get out of Golden State, whenever somebody on the Rockets, like Daryl Morey or Clint Capella, he's been awful this series. But whenever somebody says, yeah, we want to beat the Warriors, people in the Bay Area act like, oh my gosh, can you believe that the Rockets actually want to beat the best team in the league? Well, yeah, like the Rockets are the one team in the West that said, we're not going to wait around for Kevin Durant to leave.
Yes.
We're going to go and we're going to attack right now. Like, and I love that about him. It might not work out. It might fail, but they've actually at least like given the Warriors a test. I feel like when I watch the Warriors out there, I feel like these last couple games, they look like they're enjoying the hell out of it because somebody's actually challenging them.
Oh, without question. All the jokes aside, Houston has been a worthy adversary since the beginning. Since the beginning. I even pre-Durant, this is what, the fourth time in 5 years these two have gotten together. Last year, we all know how it ended. We can make our jokes, but it went 7. That was your NBA Finals last year, and no matter what happens in this series, this is still going to rate better and draw more attention than the winner getting whoever comes out of Portland-Denver. And that's not meant as disrespect, but how many people know on the East Coast one key player for the Nuggets? Like, you put those two teams together, people can name Dame Lillard, and then that's probably it. So this, again, yeah, kudos to Houston. A worthy punching bag, as I would say. A worthy sparring opponent. Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. They're great guys. Unfortunately, guys, we are all out of time. Congratulations on being exposed to a much bigger audience than normal. Hopefully this helps the ratings down in Houston. Yeah. We're happy to do some charity work, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
It's a shame Nick Bosa isn't allowed to tweet out to a larger audience.
You guys are great guys.
Good luck. See you, boys. Take care.
Just know you guys haven't did anything different than the Clippers. Only 1-2.
Wow. On the way out, I love it.
Crop dusting him on the way
after
out.
After the bell.
Yeah, nice.
After the bell, that last two-piece. Well, I didn't hear the bell. It's a quick two-piece.
All right, let's get organized. Let's get organized. All that nonsense brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Phone lines are going to open up for you. This is a hype show today. The number is 888-957-9570. We are puke and rally. That's the mantra. Yesterday after game 4, we puked. We got it all out.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Come get some, boys and girls. Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you. Our Game 5 focus listening audience, because we love you, because today is a hype show. We do a handful of these a year. This is an occasion that calls for it. It's your boys, Joe Lowendibs, 95.7 The Game. First and foremost, phone lines open all day. 888-957-9570. We would love to hear from you, but, no complaining today. No complaining, no crying about officiating, no yelling and screaming about the bench. We got all that out yesterday. Today we rally. Puke and rally. That's how we're doing it today. We puked yesterday after game 4, got out of the system. Now it's back to the fridge for another beer as we rally today. Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game, presented by our friends at Great Clips. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Quick reminder that if you are going to the game tonight, the A's have a game as well. Dual events. The Warriors and the A's, fans encouraged to take public transportation and arrive early. 7:30 p.m., Warriors versus Rockets. 7:07 p.m., first pitch, A's versus Reds. Reds probably a little upset about that no-hitter yesterday.
Yeah, especially coming off a series against the Giants in which they scored 34 runs and only earned a split. So you figure the bats are hot. 85-minute delay because the lights weren't working properly at the Collie. So kind of a weird night all the way around, and the Reds' bats, very, very quiet, Joe.
Wu-Tang Wednesday. It's also Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by our friends at Freeman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. How we feeling? Toronto, knotted 2-2, goes home, motorboats the Sixers. Denver, knotted 2-2, goes home, motorboats the Portland Trailblazers. Bucks going to end the series tonight. I think you can lay the 9. I think they hammer Boston. They are checked out. So the scenario leads us to the Warriors and the Rockets. How you feeling going in the night, big man?
I feel good about the Warriors. You know, you look at this game, you say both teams have been slugging. Both teams have been fighting. This is a heavyweight fight. You see the Warriors were able to get off to a 2-0 start. Rockets come back, win their two games at home, took care of their business. The Warriors took care of their business. Now the Warriors got a whole serve. This is a big game tonight. I feel good about this game. The Warriors understand what's at stake. So does the Houston Rockets. The winner of this game tonight, they understand, is in control. The winner of this game tonight, to me, wins the series. And the Warriors understand that. They get that. This is all hands on deck. I feel good about this Warrior team. I feel good about the position they're in. They understand where they're at. The Warriors have you got to realize, the Rockets have a puncher's chance because this team, they know how to make it physical. They understand that. And the narrative around the NBA, the narrative we had Seth on, what was the one consistent thing that they were saying? They're getting beat up, punched around. They're getting the physicality of the game. They're getting motorboated in that part of the game. These guys hear that. This is a national narrative that the Warriors are soft. Rockets are making it a physical game, and the Warriors are they're cowering down. Those men hear that. They hear that. Just like James Harden heard all those different things about him. Oh, they're done. Oh, they're going to get swept. They're like, not in our house. They had a chance to quit. In game three, the Rockets had a chance. The Warriors led the majority of that game, leaving in the fourth quarter. They had a chance to quit. They had a chance to say, you know what? This is too tight. It's too much. They could have packed it in and let the Warriors win that game three. That game was up for grabs, and the Warriors controlled the majority of that game. They found a way. This is the same situation. The Warriors, we get to see what they're made out of tonight. I like them a lot.
They got to be made out of iron because so far in the two games in Houston, they didn't show enough toughness in enough spots, and I think Draymond Green all but called, and we talked about it yesterday, he all but called his teammates the S-word, saying that they played soft. So they will come out and play more determined. My question, Joe, is how much does Andrew Bogut factor into that? We know Andre Iguodala probable with the knee hyperextension. I think he will play. Do you stick to your guns and start the Hamptons five, or do you go to a more physical first five and you throw Bogut out there?
Hamptons five. I don't think you need to overthink too much of what's been taking place in this series. Four very competitive, four very close games. Everybody can argue and complain that they should have gotten something or been treated differently in one game here or there. I get it. It's competitive. By and large, you've had the home team win each of the four games. There is a reason why after four games, the grand total scoring differential is Warriors plus one. That's it. Warriors plus one. The Dubs own the first quarter, slight edges in the second and the third. They're getting crushed third and fourth. They're getting crushed in the second by Houston. That is the most dominant of the four quarters on either side of the equation. Houston is killing them in the second. You say it all the time. Role players play better at home. Tonight, Sean Livingston, we're looking at you. Looking at you. You've been here a while. The fans love you. We all realize this is the end of the line. This is the chance to go out there and do something about it. To the rest of the bench as well. When you get your opportunity, make something happen. I'd love to say something positive about him, but keep Jordan Bell on the damn bench. No, this series is for two types of people. It's for the superstars, and it's for the seasoned, savvy veterans. That's what a series like this is all about. I was talking to Bonte about it yesterday. This is not a place for the young guys who don't know their way. This isn't a place for the guys who are unsure about themselves or worried about things off the court. This is for the big boys. The superstars show up in a series like this. The seasoned veterans, the PJ Tuckers of the group, this is a series for them. This is what they were born to do. You go out there for 5 seconds and you immediately lose track of James Harden, put your sweatshirt on, sit down. No one wants to hear from you again. This season has been a disaster. You clearly are not in a position where you feel like changing that narrative. So just take a seat and let everyone else handle their job. You would like to look to the bench and say, some guys need a few minutes off. Too bad. It ain't happening. This is where you have to empty the clip. You're going to head out there tonight. As many minutes are as needed are going to be put onto the court. All right? That's that. Iguodala is the one guy you might need to manage. You're going to have plenty of offseason to think about what went wrong if you allow something to go wrong tonight. So by and large, you want to put Bogut out there, maybe a couple hard fouls. I don't think you're tweaking the lineup at all. You go right out there and you feed off the crowd. Klay Thompson called him out a few weeks ago. Guess what, Klay? They're calling you out now. Mm. They're going to be loud tonight. Oracle's going to show up. Chris Paul is not going to get a victory in the final game ever at Oracle Arena. That's not happening. The crowd will be there. They'll be ready to go. What are you going to do after mentioning this a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
How are you going to respond in the situation?
There's two players that are going to play big, in my opinion, tonight in the backup role, and that's Sean Livingston and Bogut. I think that you look at Sean Livingston, this is that Ali and friggin' Big George Foreman. No one gave him a chance. They said he's going to have to turn back the clock. Have you seen Foreman knock out Joe Frazier in the first round, knocked him, took him off his feet, and he said, Ali's getting killed. Can Sean Livingston hear all the noise that's going on around him and people are saying, where has Sean gone? Sean Livingston understands that. And he's been that prize fighter that can't seem to pull the trigger, can't seem to get off. He's reacting. Can he roll back the clock? Can this guy, we understand he's on his way out. We understand he's getting older. But now this is when he's going to be needed. This is when Klay Thompson, this is when Bogut, these guys have to step up and they have to pick up and play their role better than what they're doing. Sean, he's going to have to play better. Bogut's going to, when his minute's in there, he's going to be valuable. And Klay Thompson, those are guys to me that needs to be those X factors.
And Kevon Looney's going to play. He's going to play 20 or so minutes. And he doesn't fall into either of your categories, Joe, of seasoned veteran or superstar, but unfortunately you need him because your bench is such that you got to have somebody come in and spell these guys. You can't play 45, 46 minutes for all your starters. So Kevon has to play like he's played for the majority of the season, which is hit a couple of mid-range shots or get something at the rim and score. Don't have any turnovers on passes to the interior. Play better defense than you did in game four because certainly you're going to need at least 20 minutes out of Kevon off the bench.
Who do you want guarding Harden? How do you want Harden to be defended in this game? Because what you've seen for the majority of it is a combination of Steph or Klay, and then you've gotten Durant at times. Durant has been far more effective, naturally. He's 7 feet tall. That's a huge advantage, and he is quite a defender, at least a better defender than Steph, probably not an overall better defender than Klay Thompson. In this series, James Harden, when defended by either Steph or Klay, is knocking down 48% of his shots. 48%. He's 14 of 29. Against Kevin Durant, 4 of 13. 4 of 13, just 31%. Now, some would maintain that when they see those numbers, put Durant on him exclusively, have him neutralize Harden. The problem is that Durant has been your primary scoring option. And if you want him to focus on slowing down Harden, that's going to take its toll on the other end of the court, especially with him battling a banged-up elbow and already playing a ton of minutes as is. How do you defend James Harden tonight?
I think it's a mix of Klay and also Andre Iguodala, because Iguodala's had some effectiveness against him. And again, if you put Steph anywhere near him, it's going to be screen roll. They want to get Steph involved, and they have Steph guarding Harden. If they play the way they did in Game 4, where it was mostly isolations, they didn't bring a screener over. They let James attack whoever, whether it was Kevon or Klay or Iguodala. Then I would rather have Klay on him because I know that he, for the most part, is not going to commit the silly foul. And I think also his ability to move his feet, stay wide, and not give up the easy one and not get blown by. Because we saw Kevon Looney, pretty good perimeter defender for a big guy, but he got blown by 3 or 4 times by James Harden. So I would say Klay and Andre Iguodala, especially if they're not going to run a lot of screen roll like they did.
You got to double him a lot more, and you got to blitz him a lot more, and you got to get the ball out of his hand a lot earlier than what you do. You can't let him go one-on-one with these guys because he will penetrate. And when you do penetrate, the rotation's got to be there. Rotation, and then once you rotate, you know that there's an open shooter, and they got to make sure that they rotate that third guy to go get to that corner. You know, or use it they want to kick it out to that three-point shot guy because of the fact they're collapsing on Harden. You got to make sure you roll your defense the right way. You got to make James Harden go one way, and the defense have to collapse, and you still got to be able to rim protect, and at times you got to go grab him outside that three-point line. You double and you know where he's going with the ball, and you got to get guys moving. Guys got to play with a lot more energy. They got to be a lot more assertive. They got to be a lot more physical. You get James, get the ball out of his hand. Don't let him do a bunch of one-on-one. You know what he wants to do. Wear guys down, then lackadaisical. You blitz him at times. get the ball out of his hand, make sure the defense is rotating.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 is open for business, as is the phone line 888-957-9570. John in San Jose. John, thank you for waiting patiently on hold. It's great to have you on the show. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Hey, thanks, guys. First-time caller. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just felt obligated to call. I've been a Warrior fan for a long time, and I know tonight's our night. I just want to say that tonight they're going to win, and with that win, we'll be right back to where we want to be. We'll be in a good spot, no pressure. Put the pressure back on Houston. I want to see everybody clicking, everybody passing, shooting. I want to see Klay Thompson let it rip. And the Warriors are the last team to doubt. They've been a champion year in, year out, and I don't see that changing. Excuse me. And there's way too much swag in the Bay to go out like this, way too much mojo. The Dubs are going to take it. And if you're going to the game, bring your raincoats, because the Splash Brothers might get you wet. I'm out.
Appreciate the phone call, John.
He's
Thank you very much.
He's a hard-working guy over there. Hear that steel dropping in the back. He's a hard worker. A
lot going on in the background.
Got his work boots on.
Klay Thompson tonight. What are you expecting?
I'm expecting at least a 20-point game, Joe, because what happened in the last couple of games, particularly in Game 4, it's not acceptable. And he knows that. And he I don't think he's too worried about any possible looming contract. He's only concerned about winning this game and continuing the championship run. He sees the way he played, got into some foul trouble in Game 4. Offensively, he's not been that assertive. I would look to see a lot of Klay Thompson in the first quarter, whether it's draw and kick to Klay to get him shots or some called plays with Klay in the post. You're going to see him get off early in this first quarter.
Do you think there's an issue lurking beneath the surface that's contributing to this, or is that reading too deep into it and he's just in a bit of a slump and that happens?
I think that he's just in a bit of a slump. I think that sometimes you start doubting yourself. You're pushing too hard. I'm with Dibs. When he's down there in the paint, he's got Chris Paul. He got a mouse in the house. He's got to be assertive, and he's got to win those battles. And sometimes you get excited. You're like, oh, my God, here's Coach tell you. You're going to go down in the box. Chris Paul's going to be on you. You got to win. And all of a sudden, sometimes you start rushing. Instead of saying, okay, I'm going to dribble, I'm going to penetrate, and I know what's going to happen. They are not going to let Chris Paul stay on him all the time. They are going to have Chris Paul on him, and somebody's going to double him. Because of the fact they know he will take advantage of Chris Paul. And when that time's happened, guys, open shooters, he's got to face it, and he's got to be able to get the ball to open shooters if they decide to double him, which they will. And he's got to be more assertive, and he understands that. But like you talked about earlier in the first segment, Joe, it's got to be calm, cool, and collective when they're doing it. And don't rush things. Have the poise about you, because you are a better team, but you got to go about it the right way. Don't get too antsy. Patience.
Yeah, and part of that, too, is when you pass out of the double, and you're probably going to have to pass to Iguodala or Draymond because Houston smartly is going to double off of them first. You're not going to double off of Steph or KD. So it's being able to have a secondary play. If you go to Klay in the post and they do double with 10 on the shot clock, now it's a kick out to Draymond, who instead of just settling for that three-point shot with 8 or 9 seconds on the clock, either penetrate and kick or pass the ball around the perimeter and still find a superior shot, not settling for just good or okay shots.
I like the fact that you two do not think something is lurking beneath the surface with Klay Thompson.
No lurkage.
It's refreshing because that's not the report that's out there. Now, I'm not saying we have to believe the report that's out there, but this is Stephen A. Smith yesterday on Klay Thompson.
I'm told Klay Thompson isn't happy. His number hasn't been called nearly enough. He's tired of sitting around and getting, quote unquote, this is a quote, the crumbs left behind by other people. But where it gets interesting is that although Golden State would love to keep the three, they anticipate Kevin Durant leaving, which is why even individuals, from what I'm told, even individuals like Pat Riley have spoken to folks within the Warriors organization to say, your priority had better be keeping the Splash Brothers together. Not only have they heard that from Pat Riley, they've heard it from Max, Jerry West, they've heard it from others, keeping the Splash Brothers together. Obviously, you know that Kevin Durant is the best player on the team. He's one of the top two players on the planet. But the point is, they anticipate, although they hope otherwise, they anticipate that he may leave.
All right. That's Stephen A. Smith yesterday talking about how he's hearing from a source Klay Thompson unhappy with, quote, and he quotes his own source, the crumbs. Feels like he's just getting the crumbs. He's not the only one speaking on the matter. Jay Williams, former guard at Duke University, who's on ESPN now, First Take had this to say yesterday.
I think Klay Thompson's out, guys. I don't think there's a way he comes back and he's a Golden State Warrior next year. Let me tell you why. He's always the third person we talk about. Now, this is Kevin Durant's team. Going into the fourth quarter, Stephen Curry makes a layup. Everybody on the bench is up and down, and Klay Thompson is like this, just by himself. But when it comes to free agency, if you're Klay Thompson, you feel like you've been disrespected for the past couple of years. Even though you've had Kevin Durant, you have not been made a priority. But also, he's not getting the same kind of shots he got a couple years ago. Now he's being pinched even more. Now when you get that open look, you have to make it all the time.
All right, so both guys are kind of talking about the same thing. The idea that Klay has been pushed aside a little bit offensively, that according to Stephen A. Smith, he's upset with the crumbs. Williams thinks he's gone. He's going to leave after the season. Stephen A. not going so far, but quoting the source that Klay Thompson is unhappy. Now, say what you want about Stephen A. Smith and his opinions. He also is a journalist. That's how he got his start. He is a journalist. What's the likelihood that this source he spoke to is either lying to him or that he's making this up? I don't see that. I think he legitimately talked to someone who had this comment about Klay. I don't think this is a made-up scenario. He goes on and he says some crazy stuff at times for entertainment purposes. That's the way of the world. It's understandable. It's why he might be making $10 million a year. But I don't know if when it comes to sources and reporting, this guy's going to be BSing people.
No, I don't know if it's necessarily all BS, but the timing of it is incredibly curious. And when you take a step or two back from it, it's a story that is plausible enough to be able to be put forward. You look at the numbers, he's taken more field goal attempts per game than ever before in his career. So I don't know if that necessarily indicates crumbs. 18 shots a game this year. 16 is his career average. He's never shot 18 times a game before. Right now in the playoffs, he's not getting as many looks because he and Steph aren't shooting it great. And Kevin Durant is unguardable. So is he frustrated with the amount of shots he's getting? Yes, possibly. Is he frustrated enough to want to walk away from this and, according to everyone, a max contract? So to me, there's these two things can't be equally true in this case. If he's offered a max $190 million, he's going to walk away because he's not happy with the shots. Then maybe he's not going to be offered a max contract. And then he can say, well, no thank you to your $160. Right. I'll go take $140 million somewhere else and not have to worry about crumbs.
You're absolutely right, Daniel. This is a situation where...
Look at you two.
It's a situation, if KD leaves, you know what? He's going to be the max player and he's going to stay here. He's not going to leave if KD leaves. If KD leaves, he's going to stay here. You have to look, and if KD stays and he's a max player, and KD's become, you know, KD's a max and he does a long-term deal, I don't think they give Klay a max deal then. And that's when I think he goes. Guys do get frustrated, Joel. When you're talking about this, guys get frustrated and they feel they're not put in the right situation. Okay, God, I got to force a shot. They don't run plays for me. I'm not the guy. Absolutely. I got upset when we'd go sit there and go 12 personnel and go four wide, five wide.
12 personnel is what for those who are listening?
12 personnel is two tight ends. You take the fullback off the field.
Oh, I would be on, just one running back. And they wouldn't let you in there on 12?
And I felt like Rudolph. You know, I'd go to practice and I'd practice hard, you know, and be doing all those things. We'll make guys at practice like, dude, slow down at practice, because I wanted to give them a look and I wanted to show, hey, look, I'm going to show you why I'm going to play. And it's frustrating. And then you get in games, you do certain things, and all of a sudden you go four, and then sometimes you go four wide, and you take you off the field. You're sometimes you're doing it on third and two or third and one, and you say, man, we've been successful running the ball. So guys do get frustrated. I talked to my son, playing nose guard. At times, he's playing first and second down, having pressure on the quarterback, getting a sack on first down, and all of a sudden, on obvious third down, he's off the field. Guys get frustrated. So people do get frustrated in certain situations, especially athletes. They're no different. They get frustrated when they feel that they're being underutilized, or a lot of guys do get frustrated.
His personality over all the years we've known him here in the Bay Area is one of just calm, even keel. He's probably the most even keel athlete I think we've ever come around. He never runs hot. He never seems to run cold. He never seems to get agitated or aggravated as right. I stumble through every word right. here. I mean, yes, the officiating, but that's everybody. Literally everyone will look to the ref in this day and age. So to hear this, it seems shocking, but then you also put this in conjunction with this stupid report the other day that he walked out of Avengers, that he's in this Avengers movie 3 hours long and he leaves after 2 hours. Now, I thought that was hilarious until everyone here told me it was probably a team movie. They all got together. So why is he getting up and walking out? Why is he the guy that there's a report that he's walking out of a movie? I don't think there's anything to that, but you take that, you take what Stephen A. Smith is saying, you take what Jay Williams says, you take all the speculation that's been going on all year about his future, and you take his performance, which is below average. And it's been below average for quite a few games, and you can't help but wonder whether or not there is something lurking beneath the surface. For someone who has let so little bother him throughout his career, or at least publicly demonstrate that so little bothers him, it looks like something's bothering him right now.
Yes, but at the same time, he hasn't really let it spill over, like you say, frustratingly, to where he picks up a tech and he's not jawing at teammates in the huddle.
Right.
And I think what we've seen from Clay is that these bad games or these subpar games are more often than not followed by what we call Claymaker games, where he just absolutely erupts. And you haven't really seen him turn down too many shots. He's still trying to get his. And the one thing that really makes me feel the most heartened by all this is that his defense is still out there. He's still giving effort on the defensive end. So a lot of times when you see a player who is starting to check out mentally on his teammates, the defense and the effort is usually the first thing to go.
Everybody on the team's frustrated. I mean, Steph, you can't tell me Steph's not frustrated. KD's not frustrated. Draymond, you hear them all. They're all frustrated. And this is that situation, because everyone's looking for something to pull these guys apart. Everyone's looking for a reason why they can't all coexist. It's about a human being, the element. Man, something's got to be wrong. If people have a good relationship, oh, this is fake. Them and his wife, they can't. Something's going on. It appears that way. That's just who people are. That's how human nature. We always want to look at something that looks good and say, wow, something's going on. Yes, there is something going on. It's called being human, not being perfect. That's the part of it that everyone has to just settle down and understand. This is just life. It's because the series is 2-2. We're sitting here saying, man, this Rocket team's ready to beat them. Or, man, what's going on with the Warriors? Man, this dynasty's coming to an end. We all know that every good thing comes to an end, but it doesn't have to be nothing wrong. It can just be, man, this is the way of the playoffs. This is the NBA. We have been so tainted the way this team plays with so much domination. Now we're like, man, when they lose a game, what happened? They got out rebound. Oh, this would happen. All these things, we all want to analyze these guys when they're like, dude, it's basketball. Yeah, we understand we're not the best rebounding team in the NBA. We never have been. We understand we're not necessarily the most physical team in the NBA. We never have been. We understand certain things. Steph doesn't play great defense. Guess what? Newsflash, he never has. So everyone just always wants to point these things out and all those things because that's their job. I think that you got to realize, yes, well, KD or guys may leave and come and go. Absolutely. That's a part of life. That's a part of the system. That's a part of any NBA basketball team, any sport team. It's a part of. And big athletes, superstars, they leave, they come and go. Can this team stay focused for the next couple games, win this series, move to the next round, try to win a title? I think that, yes, they can stay focused. Yes, they can win a title. But I don't think that there's just these guys hate each other and they can't wait till the season's over. They don't like one another. They understand this kind of opportunity doesn't come around often.
There is the mindset that some Warrior fans have taken on, which is similar to New England Patriot fans, in that when something like this comes out, it's the outside trying to break up what you've got. New England fans are notorious for this. Anytime there's an accusation levied against the Patriots, anytime something negative comes out, the Alex Guerrero thing with Tom Brady, yeah, Patriot fans rally together and say, this is just everyone else trying to tear us down. This is everyone else trying to break up what we've got. Don't listen to it. They're all haters. We're going to rally together. We're going to batten down the hatches, and we're going to do what we do on a day-to-day basis. And then they use that as the rallying cry, us against the world. They go out there, they beat the opposition, and then they point the finger, and they let everyone know they're better than them. And it's great. It's great theater. Warrior fans are starting to take this on, too. We've been hearing about this. I've at least been hearing about this from fans over the last few months, that every time one of these stories creeps up about one of them leaving, anytime something creeps up about someone being unhappy, about a possible connection in New York or the Clippers or whatever it may be, that it's the national media and everyone working to break this group apart. Now, I'm not saying there's some concerted effort, some conspiracy to break these guys apart, but there are people who believe that some of the leaks and the sources behind these stories are just people trying to create drama to distract this team. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Yes, there's a ton of truth to that, because ultimately Stephen A. Smith is not being called to explain or out who his source is. Not that he should, because certain journalistic protections are there, obviously, for certain stories, the whistleblower protections, etc. But unfortunately, we in journalism have taken this according to sources umbrella and turned it into an entire blimp that covers the city, so to speak, because any story now that you want to put forward, it doesn't really matter what your source is. On a piece like this, you know, Klay Thompson unhappy reportedly with his, quote, crumbs. Now, that could be any source. It could be anybody who's watched Klay Thompson play. It could be somebody who knows Klay. It could be somebody who knows Klay's dad. It doesn't really matter what the source is, because the story takes on a life of its own.
What's the line? More money, more problems?
Yeah.
That applies to success in professional sports as well. There's a reason you don't hear about dysfunction in the locker room in Memphis or in Orlando or Miami or Phoenix, though Phoenix is a dysfunctional franchise, because no one cares. You can't talk about the Phoenix Suns on Get Up or on any of the other shows. Right. Do you know why? Because people will tune out. People will stay engaged when you're talking about Kyrie and the dysfunction with the Celtics, or when you're talking about the Warriors' impossible dysfunction. This is what's called being a victim of your own success. The reality is you are a very successful team with very interesting people, very interesting storylines, and as a result, you can make money for other people.
Right.
Radio shows talking about you, we see it directly in the ratings. We talk about the Warriors today versus some of the other possible topics. We will win versus losing on right. some of the other issues. Not going to bring that stuff up. But that's the same thing on TV. Everyone's in the business of winning. Everyone's in the business of ratings. If you rate, you get paid. If you rate, you're successful. If you rate, you have job security. And talking about the Warriors is rating.
You're right.
So people are going to look for every possible story and every possible angle. 20 years ago, you didn't see as much negativity or as much spin because you didn't have as many competing outlets. 30 years ago, how many sports talk radio stations were there? You could literally come on air and just, here's what happened in the game last night. You didn't even need to have an opinion because you had no competition. So it didn't matter. You could say anything. Now people are striving to get the next hot thing out, the next interesting take, the first to say this, the first to predict that, so they can yell and scream and beat their chest and pick up more followers. And the Warriors have become the subject for a lot of people in that regard. So perhaps I look at a guy like Stephen A. Smith and I think, all right, I know he's got the off-the-wall opinion every now and again. From a journalism standpoint, though, I don't think he's screwing around. Others, no. However, I would think that there's some tomfoolery at play.
And I think that there's some truth to it. And I think that you know, like you're talking about, we could be talking about other things. We could talk about the football game last night. The Giants scored 14, you know, a baseball game, but it's a darn near football score.
I'm glad they scored in the first inning when I said they wouldn't. That was plus money, by the way. I should have known that was a problem as soon as I saw those odds.
But
Baumgartner. Get a guy out.
But we could be talking about those things, the no-hitter, we're talking about a team that's rating. And I think that we also have to realize, in people that are driving or at work or heading to work, think about you're going to job, and say your job is successful and you work with some coworkers and you guys are, the numbers are great and all those different things. You don't necessarily love them. You don't necessarily like them every day. You might have some disagreements, but you're still going to work. You ain't going to compromise winning. You're not going to compromise working. And we might, Dibs and I, we may go at it and might not see eye to eye, but you're not going to come in here and say, you know what, I'm not going to work because I'm upset with you. And
some people do, though. That's what leads to this being such a big story at times.
I totally agree. People may react like you say, me and you were going at it and it's off air. Even though we might have a disagreement, we understand we still have a job to do. And that's no different than in the sporting arena. People are like, oh, these guys, oh, this, they got it all coexist. Yeah, it's better if everyone is kumbaya, but it ain't going to be saying kumbaya and everyone get along every single day.
Yeah.
But you still know what's at stake. You still understand it's your livelihood. You still want to go and perform on a high level because your pride in who you are is not going to let you go out there and just mail it in and not going to go out there and just not perform because that's too much. So Klay Thompson, yeah, he may be going through some things, fighting some demons, you know, worried about free agent, not getting necessarily the best looks. Maybe they're not running the offense, giving him the plays that he set desire, but he still is going to compete because that's just who he is.
Yeah, and I know what he feels like because I'm waiting to get crumbs after that 7 minute soliloquy of yours. So Clay and I have more in common than you may think.
You just got Charles Barkley again.
Pretty much. It's supposed to go 1-2-3, not 1-2 back to one over there, Shaq. Or you'd be Charles, I'd be Shaq in this. I'm quite unhappy with that. Joe, the thing about the Stephen A. report, I don't think that Clay Thompson's the kind of guy who would want to release something like this right now, you know, to talk about how he's getting crumbs right now. Now, if this is something that came out in February or March, maybe I would have more of a sense of giving credence to the report. But I think that this is just somebody trying to prey on the news cycle and drum something up.
The easiest way to make all this go away is just go out there and have a big game. No one needs 30 and a quarter. But, like, no. Go out there and knock down some shots and then get back on D. That's it. You do that tonight. Everyone comes in tomorrow. How about Clay? Boy, that was all blown out of proportion. Boy, did we learn our lesson. We should have exercised some patience. That's the easiest way. Same thing goes for Steph Curry. You want people to stop talking about how you don't show up in the playoffs. Go out there and have a big game tonight. Knock down some shots. Kevin Durant is carrying this thing. He is carrying this thing. And playing at home tonight with the crowd, truly, truly, I believe, with what we saw in Toronto and what we saw in Denver, that's a trend you can get behind. Those are both 2-2 series that have been fought very competitively. And both teams that held home court came home in game five and throttled the opposition. Absolutely throttled the opposition. This is the game that separates the men from the boys. For the Rockets, if you want to get over the hump, this is how you do it. You got to win one of the next two road games. For the Warriors, you don't have to worry about the road. You just defend home court. Worst case scenario, you end up advancing. You earned that right based on what you did during the regular season. But if you don't want people talking, you can go out and shut them up tonight. And speaking of that, this crowd tonight, if you are going to this game, get there early. Get in your seats. You are playing a role tonight. This is not Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas where you're cruising with your cocktail and you sit back and you watch Absinthe or La Rev or O or One or any of the great shows in Vegas. This is not a show. You are playing an active role tonight. Your job is to make this place loud. The last thing you want to do is be the sucker who paid that much money to go sit at Oracle, watch this team lose, and then for the rest of your life tell everyone, yeah, I was at the last game ever at Oracle. Oh, wow, what was that? Was that when they won, you know, and they beat Cleveland, or what happened there? No, Western Semis, Game 5, they lost to the Rockets. Huh? That's not a cool story, bro. No one's going to want to hear that story down the road. You want to hear stories about how Lowe almost saw Barry Bonds hit that home run at Penn, but he was late, but he felt it. You want to hear the story about how Dibs walked out before he saw the pick six, and he's outside Candlestick and missed it.
The pick of the stick, I felt it, though, Coach. Did I ever feel that
I felt that Eagles comeback at the Meadowlands, the miracle at the Meadowlands part two. Now, granted, I had left the game because they were down 28 or something in the fourth, and I thought, this thing's over. And then I listened on the radio on the ride home in shame for having walked out of that game.
Oh, boy.
You don't want that story. You don't want to be that loser who showed up tonight to impress your girlfriend or your boyfriend or some clients by taking them to a Warrior playoff game. You have a specific role tonight. You have to get loud. And if you don't feel like getting loud, don't go. All right? You have all regular season. You got 41 games in the regular season. You got the Clippers series. You got plenty of times you can go there and do nothing. We get that no one's putting the shirt on anymore. It looks embarrassing when you put it on TV and you see OKC in the playoffs. Everybody's in blue. And you work your way to some of the other cities in hockey when they're in Winnipeg. Everybody's in white. Then you put on the Warriors and, you know, 60% put on the shirt, but other people have spent a lot of money on the jersey or they wear their collared shirts and all that other stuff. That's fine. Do you? Just be loud tonight. Play a role. You have a responsibility as fans tonight to have your asses in the seats making some noise. This is game five, for crying out loud. Stop letting people from other cities talk about how you're a soft fan base now. Stop letting people make those comments. You're going to close Oracle in fashion. As fans, we're so demanding of, you know what? Maybe the Warriors should go 41-0 at home this year.
Right,
maybe that'd be
right.
A cool way to send out Oracle. Maybe they can go ahead and win every home playoff game. Those are absurd takes. They're so good, we make those comments anyway. But tonight, you have the chance. Why don't you play a role tonight? Show up, make some noise. I know you can. This isn't necessarily meant to call you out. It's just a reminder. Remember who you are. Remember where you came from.
No, it is to call you out, because if you are fortunate enough to be among the 19 plus thousand who will be there, you do have to know that you play a role. And especially if you're one of these Warrior fans who feels like, oh, it's 8 against 5 because the 3 refs and the 5 Rockets are all against you. Well, then you can at least make it 8 on 6 because you as the crowd can be the key 6th man for this Warrior team. Make D'Antoni burn his timeouts because the momentum in the building is so tremendous after back-to-back threes, or maybe Steph hits a 30-footer and you're going so crazy that D'Antoni's got to burn his timeouts. Those are tangible ways that you as a crowd can actually have an impact on the game.
Every time Chris Paul touches the ball, everyone should be booing. Virtually every playoff series has this. There's always the guy who's the most hated on the other side. If you're playing the Bruins and Brad Marchand gets the puck, everybody starts booing. All right, that's just how it works. In the series between Utah and OKC last year, every time Russell Westbrook touched the ball, everyone in Utah started booing. When Paul touches, the guy tried to take out Andre Iguodala. When he touches the ball tonight, start booing. Trust me, you can rattle him. He's Chris Paul. He ain't Michael Jordan.
Every Chris Paul mention now, I'm going to hit the boo track,
good.
Joe, just so we can condition everyone as we move forward to tonight, whenever we talk about number 3 for the Houston Rockets.
He's not built for the big stage.
Who's
not? He's shown this. That's Chris Paul talking about. He's not built for the bright lights. Chris Paul is a nice regular season player who might contribute in a notable way in the opening, possibly second round of the playoffs. You don't talk about Chris Paul in the conference finals. You don't talk about Chris Paul in the NBA finals because it rarely, if ever, happens. And if he's there, he either gets hurt or he doesn't do anything. All right? Chris Paul isn't someone you need to fear. So you go ahead and you boo him every time Chris Paul touches the ball. And from there, you will have him rattled.
Who?
Now, the only other thing you need to worry about other than booing Chris Paul is every damn time Durant or Steph touches the ball, start chanting MVP. Get it up. Don't wait for just Steph to get hot. Don't wait for just Durant to get hot. And you know what will really get to him? Every time anyone touches the ball, you chant MVP.
So
do it
great.
After every bucket. Your Ebko comes in and gets a bucket, MVP chants. You don't think that'll get to Harden? Old Jimmy loves the MVP award because it's the only thing he's ever going to put on his mantle. He's not coming home with old Larry. Chris Paul ain't coming home with old Larry. Give him a shot at that.
Thank you. Jimmy.
I tried to throw a curveball at
you. You had me with Jimmy and Larry and Chrissy. Let's see, I'm just mashing buttons randomly. I was thinking about Jordan Bell when he comes in for his 7 seconds.
He doesn't. You keep him out.
Do we still chant MVP? I know you had a Jordan Bell playing time prop.
I do have a prop for tonight. Thank you for bringing this up tonight.
It's a great prop.
It's prison bet. Everyone has to prison bet here. This isn't an on the fence or there will be funerals for this tomorrow. Jordan Bell, over under 1/10 of a second played tonight. 1/10 of a second played tonight, over under Jordan Bell.
Prison bet under.
You're going under?
I'm going over. It's going to be a blowout. He's going to get garbage time.
He'll get some garbage time?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's getting no GT. He's getting no garbage time.
No run?
No, he's going to get some run. He's going to get one of those end of the quarter, we need your D, JB. So I'm going to go over.
Really?
Someone's getting funeralized tomorrow. I like it.
Where are you on that, Joe?
My prop. I don't have to say anything.
Oh, yes, you most certainly do, too.
Why?
You get
all the ideas, and I got to have all the takes.
Did somebody say Chris Paul?
That's an absolute He showed you in the last game you cannot risk him for a handful of seconds. You can't. He was unable to hold down his responsibility. No one asked him to score. No one asked him to rebound. No one asked him to do virtually anything in that last game. He didn't need to eat up minutes. He didn't need to play a significant role. He didn't need to be a star. The only thing he needed to do was show up for a singular play and not lose track of James Harden. And the only thing he did was lose track of James Harden. You don't put him in the game under any circumstance other than the one Anna laid out, which is if you're up 30 and you want to rest everyone, fine. Throw him in because no one's paying attention. He hasn't earned it. You got to earn these reps. People on the Chill Not Nobody text line 95795 think I'm coming down hard on the guy. No. Last year when he would play well, we praised him. We praised him up and down the court, him and his alley-oops. We praised the Warriors for spending the $3 million to buy the pick from Chicago to bring him in. Think about how this guy can work in. And when he went through his struggles, for the most part, we went ahead and we cut him some slack because he's a young guy. But he has not shown up this year. When Kevon Looney goes out and gets worked over by Harden and Paul, fine. He's a younger guy who's in a really tough situation, but he works hard. He shows up and he tries to make an impact.
Overachiever.
Bell, with all these little things throughout the
broken
year,
hips.
He gets suspended for ordering a candle to Mike Brown's room. Just, it's one thing after another. He doesn't want to go to Summer League, so then he's, quote, hurt. No, you got to earn the minutes, man. You got to earn the minute. This is the Houston series. This is not Phoenix in game 41 of the regular season. This is the Houston series. This game has been circled for a year. If you are not ready to play in it, fine. But you're not going to get charity minutes because everyone feels bad. This is not about people's sensitive, delicate nature. This is a battle, man. This is a battle. This is the damn playoffs. You risk big time shame if you can't come out of this series. Everyone's looking to cut you down. Everybody is looking for the end of your run. And the end of the run is coming after this year. It is. That's fine. Go out on your own terms.
Right.
Don't go out on someone else's terms.
And don't go out in the conference semis, too. It's one thing, like you say, if you go out in the NBA Finals to a great rejuvenated Milwaukee or however that ends up, you can't go out in six with a last home game at Oracle being a loss in this fashion. You're absolutely right.
I could see the Rockets, if they end up winning this, maybe they get to the finals, and then they end up getting rocked by whoever they play.
Rocked.
You don't want to lose to a team that ends up getting their butts kicked down the road anyway. There's nothing with that. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Greg Anthony, 11-year NBA veteran, is going to join us in about a half hour at 8:30. Matt Bullard, NBA champion at 9:10. Chris Haynes at 9:35. Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet is up on the website now, 957thegame.com. Simple. Who wins game five? Your options are obvious. The Golden State Warriors or the Houston Rockets? Dibs, who do you got in game five?
I've got the Golden State Warriors, Joe. I think this is one of those get-right games. You come home, even though you haven't played great at home, Klay Thompson knows he has to play better. I think Steph Curry, late in that game four, kind of figured out what he needed to do in this series, and you still have the most unguardable force in basketball. Give me the Warriors, Joe, and I think it follows the pattern. I know opening day on the Bay was about 10 days ago, which is when the boats really get out of the Bay for the first time. But the boats are out. We saw it last night, motorboating, Milwaukee tonight, most likely a boating. And I think the Warriors add to the regatta with a motorboating.
Nice little one percenter analogy right there. Mm-hmm. Very
not bad.
Nicely
it's
done.
The Bay Area. Opening day is always a big day here. I believe it was April 30th this year when all of us with our yachts and our dinghies and whatnot.
I missed it this year.
Is there a regatta gala?
Yeah, you know, Regatta de Blanc. Shout out the police.
I was busy flying my private plane up Napa for the weekend.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so I missed opening day, but it's beneath me.
You'll get him next time.
Nice.
Lo, who do you got tonight?
The Warriors. I think you're playing at home, situation where you need to play well. They understand what's at stake. The winner of this game is probably going to win this series. I mean, it's safe to say that. And I think you look at the Warriors on the road, they didn't play as well as they should. And they probably should have won game three, just like, you know, they probably could have lost game one here. So you look at this, it's what it is. It's 2-2. This is a big game tonight, and the Warriors look for them to come out and show their dominance early. Look for the Warriors to play big tonight.
Anna, who do you got?
I got the Warriors. I think they returned to form tonight. I think that tonight they're going to dominate just like they did in game one, game two, and I think we're going to see a resurgence of Klay Thompson.
Opening up the phones, 888-957-9570. It is a hype show today. We are puking and rallying. Yesterday, puked coming off the Game 4 loss. Today, we rally in preparation for Game 5. The Chilton Auto Body text line, 957-95, is open all day. The phone lines, 888-957-9570, are open all day. Public service announcement. The A's have a game tonight as well. First pitch at 7:07. And some of the ride-sharing companies are apparently on strike. So it may be difficult between the traffic and the lack of options and the additional sporting events to get to the arena on time. Get there on time. Get to your seat. Make some noise. It's not about you tonight. This is the community coming together for the common good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.